Father, when we sing song like that, you just open up our spiritual eyes and we see Jesus Christ in his glory in the throne room, advancing in the mighty King of Kings. And the fire around him is so brilliant and all-consuming. And we receive you, Jesus. We receive you in your might. We receive you in all your glory and your fire and your authority amongst us and in the community and in our nation, because we need you. So we want to thank you as you share with us again this morning, Lord, as you drawing us into the reality of being in this army of yours, as you equipping us and shaping us and strengthening us to be able to march with you and see a nation set free. And so thank you, Holy Spirit, as you communicate and open up and minister to us, just your very life imparted into us. And we receive this morning. Again, Lord Jesus, as you have taught us that everything that you are teaching us is so that together with you, your Father, our Father, will be glorified and people will get to know him. And this we thank you and we give you the praise and glory. Amen. Amen. This morning, we're going to carry on with what we are busy with in the area of just faith and getting a better understanding. I don't know about you, but sometimes you get some electronic equipment or something and it's got all these functions on and you have no idea what those functions are for. So you never use them. No, because you don't know the purpose, you don't know the reason of these functions. Many times you buy a hi-fi or something with all these cables and it's like, but what's this cable for? That cable, that's the only one you're going to use. But you might be missing out on so much because we just don't know. And it's the same with faith. You know, God has given us faith. And so often we don't know what this faith is for. So we're missing out on so much when it comes to being a child of God. And this is what I believe our Lord Jesus is helping us to get a better understanding of. What is the purpose of faith? What's its reason? Why did God give us this most incredible gift of faith that you and I as children of God will be able to discover the function and use it and realize, well, if only I'd known this before, my life would have been much better. And that is why God is helping us just to get a better understanding as we go through. And I wanted to share this morning very briefly what I consider this time, I believe to be the main reason why God has given us a faith. And for me, everything flows from this main reason. And many times we just don't realize what faith is for. And I'm trusting for God by His Spirit just to really today to minister to us in an amazing way. Last Sunday, when we were speaking on just the journey of faith, and the question that the Holy Spirit asked me concerning that particular scripture in Mark, nothing is impossible for those who believe, and he said, this is your starting point. Do you really believe that truth? And that, you can't just answer that. When the Holy Spirit asks you a question, that's part of the open dialogue now that you can start to really communicate and let him speak and you speak and you can go on a journey to get established in something. And then that challenge of, okay, what am I thinking about my past? What are my thoughts concerning my past What are my thoughts concerning my present and what are my thoughts concerning my future? Because that unlocks a truth of whether I really believe that nothing's impossible with God, or is it still just a fridge magnet of just words and it's not yet been established in my life. And so that is the process and part of the journey for you and I in getting established in a truth, and particularly right now with this truth of faith. Because it's very easy to say all things are possible for those who believe. But then we've got to stop and think, how am I thinking? What's my speech? What do my words say? When I speak, is it empty words or has it got substance to it when I speak about my future? Or is it just like, it's the right thing to say? See, so the Holy Spirit will help us to recognize what's in our voice, what's in our thoughts, to get us established and to be honest. And He's helping us to realize, okay, you still got a lot of unbelief, but I want to share with you truths and help you to get established in truth so that we can walk in the fact of nothing is impossible for those who believe. And this, I believe, if you can listen to many of the, I haven't listened to anything, but if you see the adverts for many of the conferences that are taking place in the world right now in the body of Christ, the theme is faith worldwide. Because God is busy doing something profound in helping the family of God to rise up from unbelief and to be able to walk who we really are as children of God, to walk in the God faith and to be able to be involved in the Great Commission and the things that God has purposed to do through us as the body of Christ. And so we're in this moment of history that is going to shape the future in a tremendous way. Because we're going to be living examples, we're going to be walking in faith, you'll be able to share with the next generation and help them to see an example of us as this generation, what it is to believe that nothing's impossible, so that they are able to go even further than you and I have dreamt. So it's an important time in shaping history and determining the future of a country, of the nations, as we learn how to walk in truth. And this, I'm sharing this because you will see when we start to speak about what's the reason for faith, and we'll start to realize it's bigger than ourselves. It's far, far bigger than us. So the first scripture I'd like to go through is John 17. And I'm just going to read verse 2 and 3, where Jesus is praying to the Father. And I'm going to read this time from the Passion Translation. It just adds a little bit more of the meaning in this particular verses, these two verses. So Jesus is speaking to His Father, and this is what Jesus is saying. You have already given Me authority over all people, so that I may give the gift of eternal life to all those that You have given to Me. So here we see Jesus is the one here who is giving eternal life to everyone that the Father has given to Him. And then He then describes what this eternal life means. And then He says, eternal life means to know and to experience You as the only true God, and to know and experience Jesus Christ as a Son whom You have sent. For You granted Him authority over all people, that He might give eternal life to all those You have given Him. This is now carrying on. Now this is eternal. This is the NIV translation. Now this is eternal life, that you know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom You have sent. So we're starting to recognize here that this faith that God has given to us has a purpose. And that is to know Him, to experience Him, to live in a relationship with Him. Without this God faith, we will never get to know Him and experience Him. He is the only true God and His Son, Jesus Christ. So a religious faith does not allow us to get to experience and to live in the truth of a relationship with Him. It'll always just be a distance formula or knowledge. Human faith cannot get us to the place where we can know Him. Demonic faith will come against this and will never allow anyone to get to know Him. That's why He's blinded the minds of the unbelievers, and we need the Holy Spirit to unlock the gospel into our lives. So we're starting to realize over here that if it was not God giving us this gift of faith, mankind will never get to know Him. A good example, if you look at Hebrews 11 verse 1, 2 and 3, where we see where we had a look at that definition of faith. And faith is what God has given to you and I so that the unseen reality of God becomes very, very real, relational. Now if you consider the example, the first example that we see of the next generation from Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel. Remember, Cain and Abel were not born in the Garden of Eden. They were born after the fall. They did not know what Adam and Eve, their parents, experienced in the Garden of Eden, that depth of relationship. So here we have the first time where we see the one son has a faith in God and his offering is accepted. The other son did not have faith and his offering was rejected. The one son knew God was real. The other son did not have that in his life. And it's fascinating that faith got this person killed. It hasn't changed. You see, remember the fall, the enemy wants to reign through unbelief to govern the world. So let's get rid of faith and let's get a murderer in place so that my murdering spirit can be flooding this planet Earth. Powerful truth, and we start to look at the examples of faith in Hebrews. See, that is why Jesus is the author, and that's why He came and He sorted all that out, that came when Cain and Abel had that painful experience. In Ephesians chapter 2, let's just quickly read that as well. And again, let me read from verse 1. As you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world, and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. Now we start to see this incredible grace of God involved, because this is all of mankind. You and I were in this same situation. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, and it's through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So once again we see, if it was not for God moving and in His incredible grace giving us faith so that we are able to believe that He's real, we would still be in verse 1. still under the control of Satan, still lost, still dead in our sins. Faith God has given to you and I so that we can have a relationship, number one priority, in order for us to know Him. And this is crucial when we look at the second part. So now we are beginning to understand, many times as believers, faith is to get the promise, not to know Him. See, our priorities need to shift in understanding. Faith is to know Him and to have a relationship then. So in our problems and in our difficulties there, it's not about the promise. That promise that God has given is in order for us to know Him in life, to know His powerful goodness and who He is. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things shall be added. Most of us as believers, we say, all those other things are provided, that's what I want. And, oh God, You promised that. And we're neglecting that the main reason is for us to know Him, to be in relationship with Him, to be able to walk with Him in the storms, to be able to walk through the trials and tribulations of life, knowing Him. Fundamental truth that. And this is why I'm sharing this, is because if we don't understand the purpose of why God has given us faith in order for us to know Him, we will always be in a place of looking for, at the promises of God and not coming real, and we get despondent and we'll stay babies in Christ Jesus. The army cannot be a baby. The army's got to be tough and strengthened. Consider this, talking about army, just not by the side way, but it fits in with faith. Jesus was tempted by the enemy. And many times we would look at that and we will see, but Jesus quoted the scripture. And we'll say, but that's the formula. When the enemy comes, we just, it's written, that's the formula. No, we've missed it. Totally missed it. Here we have the Spirit of God has led Jesus into the wilderness. Incredible truth that Jesus is sharing with us on how to live a life of faith. So the Holy Spirit leads Jesus into the wilderness. He's hungry, etc. Satan comes and tempts Him, etc. And Jesus uses the Word of God. But Jesus is totally obedient to His Father. He's not using a formula. He is truth. Jesus is righteous. He's sinless. If you look at the armor of God, and all of a sudden when we see, here is Jesus, truth, righteousness, He is salvation, He's got the shoes, He's obedience to the Father, and all of a sudden you see when Paul writes for you and I to be strong in the Lord, all of a sudden we start to understand, here is Jesus doing something for our benefit. Because we would never be able to withstand the temptation of life and testings, etc., etc. So Jesus is led by the Spirit. He is busy standing, doing what He's doing, so that you and I can be strong in Him, because He's shown us He is the one who has overcome the enemy. Can you see what it means to be hid in Him, and our life, we live and move and have our being in Jesus Christ? The life of faith, to know Him as the one who overcomes the enemy. To live in the reality of what He has done for you and I when we face temptations of all kinds in our lives. And then Paul writes something, because the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness, and Paul writes something in Galatians 5, and he says, if you're led by the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of your sinful nature. And Jesus is showing us, he led by the Spirit, he's able to withstand any form of temptation. He's done it for us. The life of faith, to know him, is not just scriptures, it's to live in the reality of life in him. This is what faith is for, that we may know him, live in him, have identity, have who we are in him. What a gift. Hey, no other faith gives us, only this God faith that he has given to us as a gift. Another fascinating reality in Galatians chapter 3, verse 21, where Paul is speaking about, in verse 1 starts there, and he starts to speak about the incredible gift of the Holy Spirit in the people's lives. And how they began and they believed and they received. They believed and they received the Holy Spirit. See, this faith is a faith that enables you and I to receive the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's ministry is to reveal God to us, to make him real, testifying to our spirit, Abba Father. Without this faith that God has given to us, we would not receive the Holy Spirit. And we will never know how real God is. We'll have information. We'll have a history lesson about the Bible. We'll not know him. This is a beautiful gift. It's worthy of praising him and just, wow, God. This, without you coming in and intervening and in your grace giving us faith, we would never, never know you. Never know you. And this is why faith comes from hearing the message of Jesus Christ. This is why you and I proclaim and testify and share the good news so that others can be drawn into the reality of knowing the real Jesus, knowing the real Father. Not the religious God or the religious Jesus or the religious Holy Spirit, but the real Almighty God. So in Galatians chapter 3, verse 21, we read over there that God has given us the Holy Spirit that we have received through faith. I don't know if you've ever had an experience where God in his way, he wants to share something and he's like, as if the Holy Spirit has left you. And you're so used to having fellowship with the Holy Spirit. You're so used to having fellowship with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And all of a sudden, there's nothing. It's like, gone. And all of a sudden, you realize, but this is how I used to live before I got born again. And we start to really value and appreciate this incredible gift that God has given to us, faith, and how we're able to receive the Holy Spirit and to live in fellowship, knowing him, knowing him. We have another scripture in John 14. Let's quickly go through there. Verse 16 and verse 17, where Jesus, we've used this many, many times, when Jesus starts to share with the disciples concerning the Holy Spirit, and I'll ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me because I live. You also will live. On that day you will realize that I am in my Father and you are in me and I am in you. So here we see Jesus speaking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. By faith we receive the Holy Spirit, now we're able to know him and to realize and be in a relationship. Religious faith does not give this to anybody. It's a dry place to be. It's a frustrating place to be. Because all the Bible text, but it's not real. You're not experiencing. It's not alive. It's not your reality. It's not the joy and the life that Jesus gives. We never measure up to that. Always falling short. And then that condemnation and that guilt that consumes the person. Our human faith got no match to this. Demonic faith fights us and will come against this faith all the time. The demonic faith is there to make the devil real. And not God. The Antichrist spirit. In Ephesians chapter 3, before we come back to John 14, in Ephesians chapter 3, again, it's that prayer that Paul prays. But this focus on the gift of faith here, and he says over here, for this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and earth derives its name. The purpose that God gives faith is for humanity to know Him. He is our Father, to live in a relationship with God our Father. I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of Him. Now, to Him, praise God for this, who is able to do immeasurably more than what we ask or imagine, according to His power that is work within us. To Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So once again, we've touched this many, many times. On Friday morning, we were just in time of prayer. And there are times in one's life when the Holy Spirit shows you more of the future, and it's too overwhelming. It is so big. And this prayer, when Paul prays, Father, please, by Your power, strengthen the inner man by Your Spirit. And many of us are in that place now where we need God to strengthen our inner man to be able to walk in the fullness of the glory that He's showing us. Because humanly speaking, it's too big. It's, oh no. You feel your body just can't handle it. So many of us are in the place now where that's the prayer, God, strengthen our inner man, that we are able to be able to take what You're sharing and to see it manifest over here by Your power. And the prayer is again so that we may know more than just the knowledge, that we may be full to the full measure of God. The gift of faith is for you and I to know this reality more and more as we walk with the Holy Spirit. And that's why, don't stay in the past. Many, what do you hear on our lips? They got born again at first love. But now, don't stay in the past. That was first love. We must be on a million love now. We must be in the all fullness of this all increasing height and depth and width and length of the love of Jesus Christ. That's our future. Press on. Faith that God has given enables us to be able to grow, move forwards. We've got an awesome future. Our present today is today. Lord, we're going to know You in our day. I don't know about you, but I get excited about life because we're in a kingdom that's this everlasting kingdom. As we mentioned last Sunday when the angel said to Mary, you're going to be giving birth to a son, the Son of God, the Most High. And he's going to be who God said from the line of David, going to be seated on the throne, and he will rule forever. His kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom. So when God spoke about 1947, and he shared Isaiah chapter 2, in the last days, the mountain of the Lord, the kingdom of God, will be chief amongst all kingdoms, and the glory of God will be upon it. This is where we are heading day after day. So you take your town, 1947. One thing that I know without a shadow of doubt, that the kingdom of God will be the kingdom that's going to be the kingdom in this town. Not any other kingdom. And we are people that God is preparing to be able to believe, to have the faith that nothing's impossible, to not get stuck in what's happening and, oh no, it's impossible. No. Marching with the King to be able to see what Christ wants to do. So, point one, God has given you and our faith that we may know him. So let's go now back to John 14, where Jesus is sharing another incredible insight about what faith is for, the purpose of faith. So we start here in John 14, and just the first verses again, just to back more truth of what I'm sharing. When Thomas said to Jesus, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? And Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, faith is for us to know him. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. But from now on, you do know him. And you have seen him. Faith sees the unseen realities. And that unseen reality is a fact. It's real. So here we see Jesus pointing out, listen, you know him. You've seen my Father who's living in me. And then he says, just look at the miracles. Look what I'm doing. It's the evidence. Just believe in the evidence of what I'm doing that will show you who my Father is. And their eyes were opened and they began to realize more and more who Christ is and that the Father, and that's why then he carried them with, when the Holy Spirit comes, what I'm telling you now is going to be your truth. Then you will know this truth that I'm teaching you right now, he's saying to them. But he carries on and he says, don't you know me, Philip? Show me as a Father, don't you believe that I am in the Father and that you are in, that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Now, verse 11. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father and I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me anything in my name and I will do it. Faith that God gives to you and I is for you and I to know he's real, for you and I to be in a relationship. But doesn't stop there. Faith that God has given to you and I has a purpose. It's for the people that do not know him to get to know him. See, that's crucial. It doesn't stop God, the promises for me. Now all of a sudden you realize, God, this faith that you have given us is for people to know you. And that's why when Jesus says, now you're going to be doing greater work than I've been doing. What have I been doing? The Father in me, living through me, doing his work. Now, by the Holy Spirit, the Father, the Son in us. And now they're continually doing their work. All the works that God has prepared for you and I to do. has a purpose for others to get to know Him. The spiritual gifts has a purpose for others to get to know Him. And all of a sudden we realize wherever God has placed, like Greg, what you're testifying there in the workplace, faith that God has given to you has a purpose for others to know how real God is. How awesome. What a provider. What a safe place to be. And so that people can get to know the real God as we walk in faith and help others. See, it's not about ourselves. So when we're just focusing on, God, the promise is for me, we only half-truth. But when we realize, God, the promises, everything, who you are, the faith you've given to me, that was a promise that you gave to Abraham, that those who believe will receive the promise is the Holy Spirit, Romans chapter 4. Now we've received the Holy Spirit. So that the Jesus living in us can continue with the great works, revealing the true Father and the same Jesus Christ. In Him we live. In Him we move. In Him we have our being. So whether I'm in the workshop, whether I'm in the classroom, whether I'm in the home, whether I'm in the shopping mall, wherever, we have to realize that faith that God has given as a purpose is for people to get to know Him. The real God. And this is why you'll find there what God is stirring in our hearts all the time. Everything is possible for those who believe. Because it has a purpose for the unbeliever to know the real God. And that's why when Jesus says, look at the evidence of the signs and wonders, look at the evidence of the miracles, look at the evidence. It's an evidence, it's the proof that God's real. You and I, let's not stop now. You and I press in, God, miracles must flow now. That all the works that you're wanting to do through our lives, let it be faith. Walking in faith now. Okay. So that others can believe. So this is part of the reason I believe God wants us to get established in what faith is for. For us to know Him. Because we might know unbelief more than we know Him, Jesus Christ. We may have a better relationship with fear and doubt, with anxiety, than what we have a relationship with the Prince of, the King of Peace and Joy. We must get to know Him in our storms. And this is the God faith that we have been given by the Holy Spirit. We're all facing many trials and many things at this time, all of us. What's the purpose for us to know Him? Faith is for us to know Him in this. Imagine if Peter didn't write that the trials that you're going through, He didn't tell us that that was to help us to make sure that our faith is a genuine faith. It's not the religious or the counterfeit faith. It's a genuine, because we get to know the God of all comfort. When Jesus, in Hebrews chapter 4, when the writer's writing about the Word of God is active and alive and it exposes and everything, and then he says, but praise God, we've got our great high priest who's able to sympathize with us because He has been tested in every possible way that a human being will be tested in, but without sin. And therefore He is the one who is able to help us in our trials and tribulations. Therefore come to the throne of grace to receive the help and the mercy and the grace that we need in our time of need. faith enables us to go to the throne room of grace and to say, Lord, and to believe that what we asked for, we have received. So that we know Him. When we start to realize that we grow in this, I think most of us realize this, but as we grow in this, you'll discover how prayers are answered. Because now you know that prayers is about a relationship. Getting to know you, who you are. But also now as I pray for others, it's about them getting to know you. And we start to get the breakthroughs. And Jesus says, ask in my name, and I will do so that my Father is glorified. And then that at Ephesians 3, now unto Him who is able to immeasurably more than what we've asked or imagined, according to His powerful work within us, so that through us, the body of Christ, and together with His Son, Jesus Christ, He is glorified throughout all generations. Faith now is not just about you and I, but it's for others to get to know Him. It's advanced time. Amen. Yeah. Father, so we want to thank You as You are sharing with us this incredible gift of faith. Where would we be today if it wasn't for You giving us faith? Thank You. This just leads us into a place of tremendous worship and thankfulness. Because all of us can testify, Father, that because of You giving us this faith, You are real to us. Father, what a privilege to be able to go into the moment, into the now, into our tomorrows, in walking and living by faith. You are so real. We have such confidence. We've got such hope. We've got such an incredible future ahead of us, no matter what takes place, because of living with You, knowing You. And I want to ask today, Father, whatever the prayers that are going up, Lord. There's so many people that are sick. There's so many things that are taking place at this time in all of our lives. But I want to thank You, Father, that in this moment where it's like this pause moment is stopping anxious right now and just to begin to get to know You first of all in the storm and get settled in faith, get settled in who You are. And once we're settled and find that peace, we find what You've promised through Paul there, that Your peace guards our hearts and minds because we are settled in the faith and we've given thanks in all situations. Faith. Because we've got confidence that all things work out for the good for those who love You, Father. And we want to thank You as we get settled right now, that we are able to be in a place where we can now pray and speak to You with faith in our hearts and not anxiety and fear and what this person says, what that person has said, etc., etc., but rooted in the rock, rooted in this incredible rock that the storm cannot destroy, not on this shaky sand of unbelief and religious faith and human faith and demonic faith, but on Your faith. Secure, it's Yours, it's who You are. So we want to thank You as we go forward, Lord God, on something solid now. And we honor You for that. Lord, You are the author and the effect, and what a privilege as You lead us into the future to see that Your kingdom advancing, to see the Father's will being fulfilled, His kingdom come, His will be done here on earth. And we thank You. Lord, many, and I think particularly of testimonies that have been shared recently, many people are tasting and seeing that you are good because of the faith you've given us, that we're able to walk in faith and people beginning to recognize and to start to experience. So we thank you as your Holy Spirit starts to work in their lives, wherever we may be, in the workplace, schools, wherever we may be. We want to thank you for the work of the Holy Spirit. And again, just taking what the evidence of faith in our lives, the fruit of faith in our lives, and revealing it to the unsaved that they can see, or to revealing it to many believers that are still battling in situations where they can see the evidence, and you are sharing with them, building them up, and encouraging them to know you. So we thank you. So Father, where we go into the workplace, today we thank you as the powerful truth of your gospel, the powerful work of the Holy Spirit begins to manifest. And as the disciples prayed, Father, stretch out your hand and perform mighty signs and wonders in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Enable us to be able to be bold and to speak with courage and boldness wherever we go. Enable us to be able to respond and to act in the boldness wherever we may go, because of the power of the Holy Spirit upon our lives. And Holy Spirit, we receive your great anointing for the glory of our Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ. Jesus, as we have communion with you, we celebrate what you have done. We celebrate your life. We celebrate that we are in you. What a privilege and what a joy to have a life in you. And I'm asking now, Lord Jesus, as we sit here, anybody, any of us, that just needs a touch from you in the most amazing way. Thank you. I just thank you as you touch our lives and bringing about life to us. And this we ask in your name. Amen. Amen.